Not sure whether to apologise for talking a lot about my grandmother in this particular feed. It's weird because I like to keep an audio diary, but I don't really have an offline space that I know is automatically backed up like my podcast feed. So I tend to record stuff here. It is quite intimate sometimes, and I know it's backed up into a couple of different places automatically, and I subscribe to my RSS feed. I don't tend to tweet it if it's that personal. So it's only really those that have taken the time to subscribe, and out of those, it's only really those that have added the feed to their mobile devices. So I don't ever think there's a massive amount of people listening to this, but occasionally there are comments, which are always nice to get. But in reality, I'm trying not to think about anybody listening to this for fear of me censoring what are thoughts that my particular mindset pushes away or suppresses or tends to focus so little on. They get covered up with much happier times and happier thoughts, which is a self-defense mechanism of mine, I guess. But today I've been visiting my grandmother again. Try and get up as much as possible at the moment. Because she is at a stage in her life where the Alzheimer's isn't so bad that she's kind of automatically responding to a fork placed to her mouth, for example. And she's kind of conscientiously refusing to eat. She knows that the last control she has over her life, and this did happen after realising that she wasn't really able to look after herself effectively at home, and now she's in care, which she really does like it, as far as she keeps saying they're really good to her here. It's a lot better than she expected. But if she's got any control left over her life, it's her calorie intake. Everything else is kind of made to happen for her. The hygiene and all the rest of it, which she's always been a very clean person. She's not going to refuse to bath, but she's more than happy to refuse to eat, knowing that now she's getting kind of a distended stomach and she's on the fringes of starvation. Because they're not cruel people, these carers. Obviously, there are lots of cases out there where some carers are less than human, but we chose a good place, and they really don't want to force her, because I think they know that she knows that by refusing to eat, things are going to happen. And they say they kind of enjoy me coming over because it's some of the rare times they see her smile, because I kind of know how to talk with her and have a joke and turn what is quite evidently a deep depression into something a little lighter. There's the repetitive questions like, you know, what have I done to deserve this long life? Which I guess I have to be in her situation to understand that sentiment. And then there's the questions, why doesn't God want me? Why doesn't God want me? And I can't answer that because I don't have that kind of faith. And I don't have the clever biblical answers that can possibly resolve that for her. So I just make things up. And today, when she says, why doesn't God want me? I said, because you haven't passed the test. And she's like, what test? And I'm like, for some reason, start talking about mathematics. She's my nonna, which is Italian for grandmother. And I remembered a little bit of maths, and I said to her, you've got to last another 10 days because then you reach 90. She'll be 90 on the 19th. And she's like, why? And she's believing that there is a test that she has to pass. And I almost feel cruel because she thinks that, well, I believe she'll do anything if she realised it resulted in the end of her life. And half of me doesn't want to go, and half of me wants her to have that peace. And the half of me that doesn't want her to go realises that's cruel and selfish of me. And yet I tell her that 9 is the only natural number in 90. The 0 is an additive value, which she doesn't understand, because I don't really understand that level of maths, but I do remember some of the terminology. And I says, and 9 in numerology, being the result of 90, is the important thing that she has to reach now. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, what is a 9-sided shape called? And she doesn't know, and I tell her it's a nonagon. And I say, maybe that's God's little joke, maybe that's the trick, that the moment you reach 90 is the moment you'll find this release, this freedom from existence. None are gone. None will be gone at some point, and I know that it's coming soon. And once I explained it twice, because it is a very complicated and ridiculous thing to say to somebody as they're dying slowly, we smiled. She had a laugh and she stroked my face and said I was a bit weird. Which, I'll take that. So, interactions like this. Our little oases. In a time I'm pretty sure she doesn't understand, I feel like I don't understand how to kind of just get on with it, you know? The one thing I wish that had stuck from all of the Buddhist principles and learnings that I was present and felt very aware of when I spent many years travelling was the act of letting go. And we just seem to live in a society that does not nurture that kind of feeling, because we're all about holding on and hanging on, and it's all about how much we have and how our possessions in many ways define us. And yet here's my grandmother, and that is all she desperately wants to do, to let go. And we don't really live in a society that respects that, or even makes it easy. But I'm glad to be around some people who are doing what they can, and especially in the care home, they've seen this time and time and time again. And detachment, I think, is something they've had to learn, but they're still more than able to be compassionate. And yep. The Buddhists also say life is suffering, and I always thought that was a very, very negative sentiment, place to be. And yet in this time of attempting to embrace death, my grandmother grasping for it and me trying to come to terms with it once again, I don't think I've ever felt this alive.